This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, sports fans, Christmas is come and gone and the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen what our teams are capable of this year, and now it's time to get those last bets in before the big Super Bowl. Will the Ravens be able to get it done? Will Brady and the Patriots get themselves another ring? I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag and make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make your bets for the bowl games, MyBookie is where you want to go. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all, from NBA to NHL to Premier League. They have the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer service. You could even pool your bets together for bigger payout. Let's say you have a couple big favorites this week. Parlay those wagers. You can bet multiple games together. And if they come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines, better odds for the player than any other sports book out there. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000, which means if you deposit $200, you'll get an extra $100 in free play money for free. All you have to do is use a promo code THPN to activate the offer. Once again, that promo code is THPN to get extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Frolik dealt, cap money in hand, and four ugly points. It's an interesting weekend. Good evening, Calgary Flames fans. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Rude. Episode number 29, recording it January 5th, 2020, a Sunday evening just after the Calgary Flames defeat the Minnesota Wild in a shootout. Interesting game. Kind of an ugly game. It's two wins in a row for Calgary, one over the Rangers on Thursday and tonight over Minnesota. You know, I don't like these Wednesday-Sunday games. It's not good because I record those days because podcast drops on the Hockey Podcast Network on Monday mornings and Thursday mornings, which means I record Wednesdays, Sundays. Now, Calgary's usually pretty good to me, and they don't play those nights usually, except for this holiday break, which was bad enough because I was sick the whole time. Then I got to do late night episodes after the Flames play, which is late at night. It's killer, man. It's killer. I'm finally feeling better. Hopefully the shows get better now that you can understand me. I'm not all drugged up on DayQuil, and I'm starting to come out of it. It's easy to have shows now, though, when you got stuff to talk about like trades, cap space. Who should we go get? Will there be more deals? I think so. I think everybody in Calgary does. Trey Leben pretty much said it. Are you guys as irritated as I am with Milan Lucic and Zach Rinaldo and their stupid dyed hair? Is this not something like 16-year-old high school boys do before a big tournament? I don't get it, man. To me, that is just the most childish, stupid. Ugh. That's got my blood boiling today. I don't like it. I don't like the way they play either lately. Lucic is not good lately. Anyways, we got a good show here today. Episode 29. We're going to recap that New York Rangers game and the Minnesota Wild game that just got over. We'll talk about the Frolik trade to Buffalo. We're going to give mid-season grades. It's probably not the right time to do it because we haven't been playing real well. So look out for the mid-season player grades. We'll do an episode of Harvey's Doghouse, answer a fan question, and preview Tuesday night's game in Chicago.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is super proud to be part of. A great group
31 podcast, actually 33 now, 31 podcast for teams, individual teams, twice a week. Podcast drop Monday and Thursdays. Great, great content. Another new podcast, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, that was just announced, that is just up and going, is called Ice Analytics. And it's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how they relate to the sport and the games and the teams we watch. They'll talk trades, signings, sports gambling, everything that has to do with sports analytics and hockey analytics. Check that one out on the Hockey Podcast Network. That one's called Ice Analytics.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Okay, Flames fans, better turn my mic up first, huh? Time for game recaps, as we had two games since our last episode. The first one, original six team, the New York Rangers, come into Calgary for the first meeting of the year between these two teams. Their next meeting is March 16th at Madison Square Garden. But Thursday they were in Calgary, and it was an interesting game. I thought the way we started, I'm like, oh my gosh, last year's Flames are back. Look at this. Johnny Gaudreau got on the board right away, 11th of the year. Michael Backlund, just 3 minutes later, his sixth of the year. And I'm like, 2-0. They're both on breakaways. I'm like, yes, this is great. Two breakaway goals on Lundqvist. This is going to be perfect. And then just 30 seconds later, just around 30 seconds, Jacob Trouba gets his sixth on the power play. The Backlund goal, by the way, was shorthanded. Then Philip Seitel gets his 10th of the year, 2-2. Derek Ryan does get a goal, the 13-18 mark, 3-2. That's 5 goals in the first period. Sounds familiar. Sounds just like tonight's game. 3-2 Calgary lead after one sloppy period. Coaches probably hated every minute of it and went crazy on their teams. Shots on goal were 9-7, and it was 3-2. That's not very good goaltending. And that ended up being a goaltending change. Not for the Rangers. They kept Lundqvist in. And I believe, I'm drawing a blank. Did they have? No, Talbot got the start that night. What am I thinking? They kept Talbot in and deservedly so. A couple of the goals were not completely his fault. Second period, Kaapo Kakko gets his 7th of the year at the 5:46 mark. We're 3-3. And then at the 8:22 mark, Sean Monahan gets his 14th assist from Hannifin Gaudreau. At the 8:22 mark, Calgary goes up 4-3. Third period, nothing. No scoring in the third period. Calgary outshoots the Rangers 10-9 in the third. Shots for the game, 29-27. A fairly evenly matched. And it was one of those games where Calgary got out. Okay, it was just run and gun. It was shoot, shoot, score, shoot, shoot, score for both teams. It's like, holy crap, someone needs to button down the defense. Calgary did that in the second and third, and look what happens. They play a pretty good 40 minutes and get a win. Now, as much as the 2 points are important, did you guys leave that game kind of going, well, we won, we got 2 points, but I'm not really all that happy? It just didn't seem right. And maybe I'm being a little tough on Calgary right now. Maybe I'm expecting a little too much out of this team. Maybe that's what it is. But you know what? If we're going to make the playoffs, we kind of got to get things going here a little bit. Now, tonight, Calgary is in Minnesota. And I don't know, but every time we play Minnesota, I just kind of cringe. Because I just feel like it's not going to be a good night. We do not play that well at the XL Energy Center. And tonight, we win in a shootout. But again, I felt kind of like, oh man, we're not playing very good. We were extremely sloppy through the neutral zone. Our passing was horrendous. Our big guns did not look like big guns again tonight. And I'm sorry, but Big Save Dave scared the hell out of me tonight. He doesn't look normal in net. Kevin Fiala gets his ninth of the year to start it off. Minnesota leads 1-0 just 5 minutes in on the power play. Milan Lucic scores the 9:32 mark on the power play. And this was not really Milan's goal. It is. It got shot off his foot by the opposing team. But it counts. Milan gets his fourth of the year. Marcus Foligno, just 20-some seconds later, gets his sixth of the year, and it's 2-1. And that's plagued Calgary all year. And it happens again. We allow a goal just a minute after scoring. Travis Hamonic gets his third on a nice goal at the 15:40 mark. We're 2-2. Marcus Foligno at the 19:14 mark, just with under a minute to go in the period, has a beauty goals. He fires one over the shoulder of David Rittich for his seventh. 3-2 Minnesota after one. Another five goal run and gun. Defense not there, period. Shots for the first. 14-9 Calgary. Rittich struggling with just nine shots on him. Three goal in the net. That's not good. But Rittich comes out in the second period, stops all 12 shots that Minnesota puts on him. No scoring in the second. We go into the third, 3-2 Minnesota. Michael Stone gets his second of the year, assists with Brody and Ryan at the 1:55 mark. Things are looking up. Calgary 3-3 with Minnesota in Minnesota. Kind of coming together, but it strikes again. Just 42 seconds later, Jordan Greenway gets his fifth of the year. Back to a Minnesota lead, 4-3, and we're plagued with another goal right away. Mark Giordano is the hero, though, at the 14:32 mark. He gets his fifth of the year on the power play, and everything looks good. We go to overtime. In overtime, Mark Giordano takes a penalty. And this one frustrated the hell out of me. And now I know Tortorella freaked out last week, and I feel like I should freak out because that's how ridiculous and stupid this call was. Giordano was in a stick battle for the puck. I believe it was with Suter. I'm not 100% sure on that. Has his stick over the top, fighting for the puck, doesn't trip him, doesn't kick his legs out, does nothing. The player goes down in a stick battle with Giordano's stick on the ice. His stick was touching the ice. Giordano gets called for a penalty and goes to the penalty box. Horrible, horrible call by the officials on that one. Calgary does manage to kill that off and escape. I mean, really not many scoring chances in overtime. Big Save Dave did make a couple saves in overtime as shots in overtime were 3 for Minnesota, 0 for Calgary. I'll give Calgary a pass on that, though, because they hardly had control of the puck at all. We go to a shootout. Monahan misses. Kachuk misses. Gaudreau misses on a horrible play by Gaudreau. I don't know what Gaudreau was doing. I don't know what Monahan was doing. Kachuk's, I don't know. I knew right when Donato came in that he was going to score because he came in with speed. I'd love to run the numbers and do some checking on this, but when you go in slow, to me, it seems like your odds go way down. And I think if we ran the numbers, I don't think I'm wrong on this one. I really don't. But anyways, Ryan Donato scores. And then you know what? The big guys can't do it for the Flames. They haven't done it all year long. So let's give the puck to Derek Ryan, Mr. Grit. He goes in and scores, ties up that shootout. Then Mangiapane doesn't score. His wasn't horrible. Lindholm doesn't score. And then you send in the rookie, Dylan Dubé. Guess what? Forehand, backhand, top shelf, game over. Calgary wins in a shootout, which is an important win over a Minnesota team because Calgary struggles against Minnesota. This is the second time Calgary's played Minnesota on December 23rd in Minnesota. And the game they had to move up because of the Vikings game, which I'm still bitter about. Minnesota shut out Calgary 3-0. Tonight, 5-4. These two teams meet in Calgary for the final time of the year, January 9th, which is just next week, 4 days away. And then we're done with the Minnesota Wild. So we get to play the Minnesota Wild 3 times in 2 weeks, and that's it. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to the scheduling guy, does it? Makes you wonder sometimes.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Calgary, let's talk the big trade. I guess maybe a big trade's overselling it, maybe just a little bit, huh? I don't know. It's as big as it's gotten so far, and quite honestly, I was pretty damn pleased when it happened, because anytime you can get rid of $4.3 million, you gotta love it. The trade sent Michael Frolik in his final year of his contract, which is $4.3 million, to the Buffalo Sabres in return for a 2020 fourth round draft pick that Buffalo had acquired from San Jose. No salary was retained, so Calgary eliminates all of that cap hit, which helps out tremendously. I think it's a huge win. Huge win. Some fans right away were against this, and I didn't quite understand that. All the media was all for it. I was all for it. I would have honestly given them for free, minus a draft pick in return for taking that all of the $4.3 million salary cap. So I think Brad Treliving did a marvelous job on this one, and he should be damn proud of himself, because, man, he cleared $4.3 million. That's critical cap space if you're going to go try to get somebody. Frolik has been effective as a Flame. Last year it started to diminish a little bit as he slipped off that 3M line. He was a healthy scratch a few times this year. And you know what hurt Michael Frolik? And I always liked Michael Frolik's style, and I liked his play, and I've always heard he was a top-notch professional and great, great guy. But you know what I didn't like about Michael Frolik? And that was his agent, Alan Walsh. He really pissed me off last year with his tweets. And this year, on January 30, tweeted, one goal, plus two, five shots on goal, second amongst all Calgary players with 11:04 in ice time, 11th out of 12 forwards. That's right, 11th out of 12 forwards. You know, maybe, Alan, if you kept your mouth shut a little bit and didn't drag your player down and piss the general manager off by your stupid, immature, unprofessional antics as an agent, maybe Frolik would have been better off. If I was Michael Frolik, I'd have fired your ass after the first tweet. You look like some immature father of a peewee player that's supposed to be really good. Now, Michael Frolik didn't produce in the latter part of this contract, but this was a hell of a good free agent signing for the Flames a few years ago. And Michael Frolik's a good hockey player, and Buffalo will like him. I'm not sure why they want him right now at his age and at $4.3 million, but that's for Buffalo to worry about. But I'm sorry, I still think Alan Walsh ruined Michael Frolik in Calgary in the last year and a half. It's unprofessional. It's just flat out unprofessional. So where do we go now for the Flames? We have the cap space. Michael Treliving said he didn't acquire the cap space to sit and look at it and not do anything with it. So we know a move's coming, but what's that move going to be? Do you go get a Chris Kreider in New York, a Tyler Toffoli in L.A., or do you be patient and wait and see what teams fall back and who becomes available more closer to trade deadline? Does a Hoffman become available in Florida? I don't know. I see Florida making the playoffs, but some people don't. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Treliving's been pretty flat up and straightforward in saying that he's not going to use the money to get a rental. He wants somebody with term, which I think is a great idea, because you got to look at the future. But I'm serious, you guys. If this team doesn't make the playoffs this year, which is still a possibility, I'm not trying to sound pessimistic. I'm being realist. This team isn't playing that great of hockey. And if they didn't make the playoffs, what happens? Treliving probably gone. Gaudreau probably gone. Monahan might be. Man, it would be a full-out clear house, I think. It'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it?
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
Let's talk mid-season player grades, as we are at the mid-season mark for the Calgary Flames. We're actually just a little bit by it, but we'll pretend like we're right on it, okay? And these grades, I'm basing them off what my expectations for that player are. Let's start with the forwards, and let's start with the big guy right away, Johnny Gaudreau. How do you give him? I mean, I thought about giving him an F. And you know what? It's not just because he isn't scoring. This guy's a turnover machine. He's a flat-out turnover machine lately. And he's not putting points up. Yes, he does lead the team in 22 assists. But my expectations are high. And he doused him last year with his playoff performance. I thought this guy would come back this year hell-bent for leather that he was going to prove that his playoff performance was a fluke. And I haven't seen it this year. Johnny Gaudreau, you got a D. Sean Monahan, I'm going to give you a B. And I hesitated on this because I almost gave him a C. He's second on the team in goals at 14, second in points at 34. But I got a problem with his minus 11. But I do think, as of late, if you look at his numbers, he's trending upward, scoring a lot of points lately. I like where Monahan's going. You got to be. Michael Backlund. The puck has not been going in the net for Michael Backlund this year. Now, he's scored as of late, and I like the way he's trending, too. I'm going to give him a C, and that's just because of where he's trending. He sits with 6 goals, 12 assists, 18 points in 43 games. But how many points do we expect out of Backlund? Mangiapane's the next guy we'll talk about. Sitting with 15 points, he's got 8 goals in 41 games. He's been playing on the first line with Tkachuk and Lindholm. I'll give you a C+. I don't think he's been off the charts. I know a lot of people in Calgary are really, really high on this guy. And it's not that I'm not high on him. I don't know what my expectations are right now. I really don't. I don't know what to expect out of this guy. I think this guy has the potential to be a top 6 winger in this league and be a point producer for the Flames. I also think he's a guy that maybe 2 years from now he's not on this team, because he doesn't produce. He could go both ways. I really believe that. Derek Ryan, good old steady Derek Ryan. 21 points, 43 games, 7 goals, 14 assists. That's pretty good for Derek Ryan. I'm going to give him a B. He's been good. He's good in the faceoff circle. He's good defensively. I don't have any complaints about the way Derek Ryan's playing this year. Dylan Dubé, the rookie. Dylan Dubé's played in 19 games. The guy's got 8 points, 3 goals, 5 assists. Hello, that's trending better than Mangiapane. Clutch shootout goal tonight to win the game. Dylan Dubé, you're going to get a B from me. 12 minutes of ice a night, and you're putting up almost a half a point a game. That's not too bad for a rookie, is it? Sam Bennett, 6 points, 27 games, dealt with some injuries this year. I don't know. I got a soft spot for him just because of the way he plays in the playoffs, and I think this is a guy that I'll be upset if Calgary gets rid of him, because I think if this team makes the playoffs, this guy is going to be a critical part to how this team goes. Not happy with the way he's playing right now. Takes a lot of dumb penalties. He's a competitor. He doesn't like to lose battles, and oftentimes he's stupid when he does lose a battle and takes a penalty, and that's haunting him right now. Having troubles getting the puck in the net. I've forgotten about his draft status, so I don't hold that against him anymore. Sam Bennett gets a C from me. Mark Jankowski. Everybody in Calgary just perked up. 34 games, minus 12, 1 assist. No goals. You almost got an F. Probably should have. I gave him a D because of his penalty-killing ability. That's it. That's the only reason. He's done absolutely nothing else. I don't even know why I'm giving him a D on there. People are going to probably tweet me and tell me I'm an idiot because he deserves the biggest F in the world. Tobias Reeder, 34 games, 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists. He's a C. For a guy we signed as a walk-on in camp, I mean, yeah, he's fine. He's doing the job. He busts his ass every single night, doesn't he? Works his ass off. Elias Lindholm, first line center now. He's been getting a shot up there. 43 games, 16 goals, 15 assists, 31 points. Getting almost 20 minutes of ice time. I'll give him a B. I can't even speak. It's cold still, lingering as it sounds. B-plus for Elias Lindholm. Matthew Tkachuk. He leads the team in 36 points, 15 goals, 21 assists. Why am I never satisfied with him? Never. I feel like this guy could own this league. He just doesn't look like he works as hard as he should. And if he did, he'd own this league. He's a great player. He's an integral part of this Calgary Flames team. He's going to get a B from me. He leads the team in scoring. Milan Lucic. We're getting exactly what we thought we were getting. 9 points, 4 goals, 10 points, 4 goals, 41 games. He's had a few games where I haven't hated him. I haven't liked him as of late, though. I haven't. He hasn't even played with any grit or any toughness. I'm going to have to give him a D. He's lacking that grit that we need. That's why we have him. Like, that's the only thing we're getting from him is grit. So, damn it, give me some grit. He had every opportunity tonight, Greenway was all over him. He had nothing. Zach Ronaldo played 8 games, 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points. Hasn't been horrible. I mean, he's going to get a C from me. He's kind of like Reader. He's just there. But that's what you get for a guy you just signed at camp. I like Reader better than Ronaldo. I don't know why Ronaldo's on this team. But he is, and he gets a D from me. Or a C, excuse me. Let's go to the defense. Captain Mark Giordano. 5 goals, 15 assists, 20 points, 43 games, 24.18 minutes per game. This guy's a horse. But this horse isn't playing as well as he did last year. His decision-making isn't quite as good as it was last year. He hasn't been horrible. I don't know what the problem is. He gets a C from me. He's still so critical, though, this team, you guys. He's so critical. TJ Brody. Brody, the whipping boy a lot of times. 12 points, 37 games. I don't mind Brody this year. He's playing 19 and a half minutes a game. I haven't noticed the pizzas up the middle this year like he was in years past. His medical problems. He's been good. Honestly, he was a little bit bad before his medical issue, and since then he's been pretty good. I give him a B. Noah Hanifin, 11 points in 43 games. You know, I'm going to have to give Hanifin a C just because defensively he's been a little bit lax in clearing the front of the net, which has resulted in some goals. I think Hanifin's going to be one of our best defensemen in the future. I love his skating ability. I love everything about that. But right now he's just not quite there. I give Hanifin a C. The guy that I praise all the time, I'm not giving him as good a grade as I probably should have, but I'm being real. Travis Hamonic, he is a heart and soul guy, grit. He'll give it every single night out there. I hope this team signs him to another deal, like a 3-year deal would be great. But this year so far, I have to give Hamonic a C also. Moving on to Michael Stone, played in 21 games, just 4 points, but I like the way Michael Stone has played. He's a -2, which everybody in this team's almost a minus. Some of them way big numbers. -2 is not bad, considering where this team's at right now. I give Michael Stone a B+. He's got a hell of a shot. He's been tough. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. He's exactly what this team needs right now. Rasmus Anderson, 11 points in 43 games, playing 19-plus minutes a night. Been playing either with Chillington or up on the top line with Giordano. I give him a B. He is going to be a big defenseman for this team in the long term. Oliver Chillington, 4 points, 31 games played. I haven't minded Chillington. I haven't loved him, and I haven't hated him. I think he's had some really good games, and I think he's had some horrendous games. In his horrendous games, drug him down, and I give him a C. Now, this isn't probably fair to him. I mean, he's just in his first full year as a pro, and he's got some learning to do. Playing the defense is not the easiest position in the world, and he's not playing with this big stud stay-at-home defenseman to protect him. He's playing with either Rasmus Anderson, who's also young. We forget that. And he's also playing with Michael Stone, which, yes, I just got done saying he's a big stay-at-home defenseman. So what am I talking about? But Oliver Shillington is either great or having a tough night. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be a solid piece of this team for a long time, and I give him a C. Time to go to the goaltenders. Now, people are probably going to freak on me. Let's talk Cam Talbot first. He's played in 13 games. He's won four. He's gotten crappy run support. Crappy. Until last game where they bailed him out in New York when they are at against New York and they scored a bunch and got him a win that night. But Talbot has done, he's .913 save percentage, 2.75 goals against average. He has done everything you can ask for a backup goalie. I give him a B. And you know what, Flames fans? I don't know that he doesn't push Riddick down the stretch here now and get more starts. I don't like what I'm seeing right now with Riddick. And let's talk about his grade. I'll give him a C. His stats prior to tonight's game were .912 save percentage. That'll go down. And 2.78 goals against average, and that'll go up. Riddick hasn't looked good for 2 weeks now. And I don't know what happened, because he was quite honestly the only bright spot of this team at the quarter mark, and I think I gave him an A for a grade then. I'll move it down to a C. I worry a little bit about what's going on with David Riddick. He sits at a C, and he could be in an A at the three-quarter mark, but I just think Cam Talbot's coming on good, and I like the direction he's going, and I think we're going to have a back-and-forth 50-50 down the stretch.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Let's talk a little Calgary Flames and news in this segment. We just ended a decade. You guys want to know what the Flames' record this decade was? 745 games played. The Flames went 364 wins, 302 losses, 79 ties, .489 win percentage, 807 total points. Where does that rank them? 17th in the National Hockey League for the decade. 17th. That's about what I expected. You guys want to know where our rivals were? Vancouver 19th. They had a damn good run there. And Edmonton, yep, you're going to love it. The boys up north, 29th in the league. That's not good. Does it seem like the Calgary Flames hit the post a lot? Saw an interesting stat this week. Through this Monday, the Calgary Flames have hit 28 posts. That's tied for 12th most in the National Hockey League. About middle of the pack. I thought that was an interesting stat. Now, the current road trip that brings the Flames from Minnesota and now Chicago on Tuesday night is a dad's road trip. Always fun. I always love that. I couldn't imagine how awesome it would be, number one, to be a professional hockey player, but to be able to take my dad with too. That would be a lot of fun. Be a lot of fun. I hope the players really enjoy it. I think it's awesome that teams do this. And I love it when they do the mom's one too. I think they should do a brother's one too, or a sister's one or something too. I think it's good. I think it's something that you do once a year. You rotate the dads every other year or the moms every other year or however you want to do it. But pretty cool event. I really like it. Prospect Michael Phelps playing in Stockton in the American Hockey League. Fractured his kneecap earlier this week. Surgery out at least a month. Latest reports I'm getting are that it doesn't even sound like a month is going to be, it's going to be a long term, it sounds. That's too bad for a prospect that was having a great year in Stockton. Hey, make sure you check out Puffy Mattresses, rated America's most comfortable mattress. Puffy provides the ultimate sleep to thousands of customers nationwide. It's an all-foam mattress with medium firmness level and outstanding pressure relief. Low-density memory foam makes it especially soft sleeping surface. Go get yourself a Puffy mattress. Use the code BESTPUFFY and get $250 off.
every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, it's time for Harvey's Dog House. I had troubles again this week. Is that bad when it's like, you know, at the beginning of the year I singled out a player, but it's like, well, you can't keep singling out the same player every week, can you? So when I came up with this segment, maybe my brain was working faster than reality. I don't know. But anyways, I'm going to give this week's Harvey's Doggos to kind of the entire team for their sloppy passes. I had one of the listeners of this show point out to me this week that the Flames just don't convert their passes, and it's been sloppy. And tonight I noticed, man, it's like I paid close attention. It's like, man, we are so sloppy in the neutral zone. And even in the offensive and defensive zone, our passes were horrendous. They were off the mark way more than they should be to be successful. And it's not even just that they're bad passes. We had a lot of ill-advised passes. Gaudreau was horrible again tonight on his passes and his decision-making. I know he sees the ice better than anybody. Like, who am I to say? I mean, the guy sees ice 100 times better than I do. But I don't know what he's seeing some nights. Like, he's trying passes that are just impossible to get. And one after another. Tonight he caused a breakaway midway through the third period that could have resulted in a goal if Riddick wouldn't have saved the bacon. We've got to be smarter and more accurate with our passing. Now, David Riddick, I talked about him in his grades. He was almost my Harvey's Doghouse tonight because something just doesn't look right. I don't want to speculate and I don't want to freak out, but I don't know if he's injured like last year, the latter part of the year when we were worried about the way he was playing, or if it's his confidence. You know, you look at a guy like Markstrom in Vancouver. The guy is playing out of his mind. And the reason he's playing out of his mind is because his confidence level is at an all-time high. The guy's on cloud nine. His confidence is huge. And it's resulting in big-time saves, big-time games, and big-time wins. Now, I got faith in Big Save Dave. So, I don't know if you rest him a couple games here. Let his mind reset. Get him some confidence at practice. And let him get back into the groove because we need him down the stretch. Rolling on to a fan question, and this week it was a Facebook poll. And I did it on three different Calgary Flames Facebook pages that I am members of each of them, and they are all great. Check them all out. Join the group. Talk Flames Hockey with some really, really intelligent and great guys and gals. Calgary Flames fans is one of them. Calgary Flames fan page is one, and Flames Hub. Check them all out. The poll question this week was like or dislike the Michael Frolik trade. I know it's simple, but I had to do this because when this trade first went down, there was a lot of people on Twitter going, well, what are we doing? What's Calgary doing? We didn't get anything from Michael Frolik. So I thought, well, I better pose a poll because if some people are not happy with this, I want to see how many, what percentage. I had 641 responses in 2 days to this poll question. That's crazy. Thank you for all the listeners and readers that answer these. I love doing these. I love hearing what the fans think. Listen to the results. 601, 94% of the people polled liked the trade. 40 didn't like the trade. That was 6%. You know what that proves to me? That all these guys on these Calgary Flames fan pages are an intelligent group of fans. Now, some were freaking out initially, but you know what? I realized that after doing this poll that the listeners to this show are big-time Flames fans, and they know what they're talking about. And you guys know just how important cap space is. And plus, doesn't it make you really, really excited to see what Brad Treliving could go out and do? What do you think he'll do? Will he go get a Toffoli? Will he go get a Kreider? It's exciting. It's exciting times. I'm interested to see what happens and how much that shakes a team up and gets them going. Cause quite honestly, I'm not real happy with the way this team's playing. We need a spark. We need somebody to step in and give us a boost. We need someone to push our top six. We got our big stars who just aren't producing right now. They have to produce for this team to be successful. One game to preview, And that's Tuesday night was Calgary. Stop two in the dad's trip. Goes into the United Center to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. Right now, Chicago stands 19-18-6, 44 points, which is seventh in the Central. They're coming off a 4-2 win at home to Detroit tonight, Sunday night. Calgary currently sits 23-17-5, 51 points, fifth in the Pacific right now as we stand. Tonight's win in Minnesota, shootout win 5-4 is what the Flames are coming off of. And Calgary just played Chicago, and I was highly impressed with Chicago. Even though they are lower in the standings, I kind of like what the Chicago Blackhawks were like. I think they looked good. And that was a New Year's Eve game that Calgary lost. Almost didn't lose. They came back from behind, but jeez, we can't rely on comebacks like that. Important. We've gotten 4 points here in the last couple games, but none of them were very, very pretty. Will there be a big trade before our next show? We record Wednesday night. You'll get it Thursday on the Hockey Podcast Network. You can also check us out on flamesunfiltered.com. That has all kinds of Flame news in every one of our podcasts. Thanks for listening. Flames need two in Chicago.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.